This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 10th, episode 1357. Good morning, Horse World.
How much coffee have you had? You're talking like 90 miles an hour.
Was I really? Sorry.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. We're not promising what's going to happen on today's show because neither Jamie or I got a lot of sleep last night. And obviously, Jamie has made up for it with 12 gallons of coffee this morning.
Drinking it right now.
So anything could happen today. Oh, my God. Anyway, I saw this funny.
I'm sorry. I'm just one of those people that is a there's got to be people that can relate. But I'm just a worrier. And when things are out of sync, the first thing that happens is I can't sleep. And it's been about 4 days of it. And just this morning, I woke up, boom, in the middle of the night. And I was like, I'm sleeping too good. I'm missing something. And I seriously woke up because I was actually asleep. That's ridiculous. I'm like, I must be missing the show. I got to get up. I got to go do the show. Oh, it's 4 a.m. I don't. Ridiculous. Of course, you can't go back to sleep after that jolting wake up. So here I am.
Well, I saw this post on Facebook this morning. It was so funny. Cecilia posted, she is in high school, and she's one of our listeners, and she posted, we were late for school today by 7 minutes, so this bus must have been late. Went in to sign the tardy log and happened to glance at the reasons. Sick, doctor appointment, and right above mine it said, mother is a lunatic.
That would be me. I'd sign that. I'd copy. I'd write it again. Give me two.
Mother's a lunatic.
And you know the mother wrote that. So
that's funny.
Awesome. So is that what Lucas is going to be writing in his log?
Yes,
someday?
That's right. Mother's a lunatic. She never sleeps.
Sorry. Mother took me to school at 4 a.m. because she thought it was time.
She didn't want me to be late. I had to sign the early log.
Oh my gosh.
You're a mess. You know, the problem is, if you can't sleep because you're a horse girl, because life, you know, you can't sleep right now because life's in a tizzy. When you're a horse person, life's always in a tizzy.
And that's the thing is, I mean, seriously, my husband can be sleeping while, you know, and that's the problem is our pasture is right next to the house and we can hear the horses when they're galloping around. So my husband can literally... It can be total daylight streaming in through the blinds. The kid is screaming. The blender's going. The horses are galloping around outside, and he is totally fast asleep.
That's Jennifer, too. We're in the same boat. I wake up at anything, and she's like sound asleep, and the roof's coming off the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that like? What's that like, Jennifer? Yeah. What's it like close your eyes and sleep? Don't tell us. I don't even want to know.
It's wonderful. It's a fantastic thing. I love it.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. So Glenn,
yes,
ask your wife, because I'm not talking to her right now. Okay. What is coming up on today's show?
Hey Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Crapulous Wednesday edition, the Horse Health Report features some fun with feed ingredients. Did you know? Featuring Dr. Cubitt. And then we are going to look back as we get to know hindsight for your horse trailer. And then tucked in between, we've got a glorious selection of hilarious lists and horsey-inspired headlines. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, great. Thank you, Jennifer. Let's do these. Thank you. Helena B. gets my daily Winnie for joining me on a blab last night all about podcasting. And if you haven't seen blabbing yet, it's kind of cool. You know, it's like four people on video chatting and a whole bunch of people can come in and watch and ask questions and chat on the side. So we had quite a few people in there last night. And I had three of the podcasters who watched last night and hung out with us for a while ask if Helena was my wife. So apparently... We've apparently been together a long time and must bicker like husband and wife. I don't know. But yeah, that was interesting. But she did a good job acting all professional last night. It was a side of Helena we don't get to see too often here on
No
the
kidding.
Show. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
I'm not that familiar with what a blab is. Do you want to just explain it real quick?
Yeah, it's this website. It's called Blab I Am, and you just set up a time and say, I'm going to start at 7 o'clock. And then it's four people. You can see four people's videos. They're all side by side or up at, you know, in a square.
You're on Skype?
No, you're right through Blab. Yeah, okay. It connects through your camera and your sound on your computer. So if you have a laptop, it's easy to use. And that's what I do. I just connect to my camera and my laptop, and you just sit and talk about whatever. So we just schedule these once a week to talk about podcasting, the business of podcasting. There were some listeners in there last night, too. Oh, there goes the fire alarm. So Jennifer's going to deal with that. Somebody's burning something in the kitchen.
Is that like a smoke alarm?
Yes, there goes the smoke alarm.
Oh, because your in-laws are there, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, they're in the kitchen.
Somebody's burning something in the kitchen, I guess.
Well, here,
Jennifer's taking care of that.
I'll do my daily Winnie because you
welcome to Wednesday morning on the Horses.
Too much coffee and
you
want to
just start over? We can just start over.
No. Okay. Hit the daily Winnie. We'll start over with that.
All right.
My daily Winnie goes out to my baby mama, Pink. Oh my gosh.
Is that really the horse's name, Pink?
Okay, so real quick, her name actually, her registered Oldenburg name is Surprise, but
really,
the sire's name is Applejack. That's her sire. Her grandsire is Juice de Pomme. That's I think juice of apple. I think something like that. So the son's name is Applejack, and so the previous owner named her Pink Lady, and all of her foals are named after apples. She has a Fuji. She has a Macintosh. She has every like kind of apple. I mean, the only thing left is Granny Smith, and she wants me to name my kid after my baby after an apple. Like Granny Smith? I'm not naming my bull Granny Smith.
Just what you want to. You want that announcement in the you know, when you're doing your Rolex. Granny Smith's on course. That's not what you want.
No, especially if it's a cult.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So on Monday, I told you guys we had a check. We were going to ultrasound her just to see if she was where she was kind of in her cycle. She was in full blown heat. So I did anything. Dr. Hendricks is like, you know, arm up her and sees that she has a size 5 follicle. I don't know what any of this stuff means.
Yeah, what's that mean anyway?
That means it's really big and it's like really ready to be bred.
Okay.
It's, so what happens is they are ultrasounding.
That's good. I'm glad you didn't explain any further than that because I really didn't want to know. I just said that for the listeners.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to hear it.
Okay.
Just sit down and take it. This is woman stuff.
Okay.
So women know that the eggs are in the ovaries. And then the ovaries are connected to fallopian tubes, and the fallopian tubes are connected to the uterus. So the egg, the follicle, is up in the ovary. And so it's once it gets to a certain size, it releases and it goes down into the uterus where then it is fertilized. Glenn, are you following me? Are you still with me here?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. You're so uncomfortable right now. It's hurting. So
it can't be any worse than Monday's conversation about tumors on penises.
Oh, by the way, we can get to that if you want.
But you can't, too. I don't really want to know what they did with it. I really don't want to know. La, 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 la. Okay, go ahead.
So,
I'd rather continue talking about fallopian tubes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so yeah. The guessing game with the artificial insemination is you have to decide when that follicle is going to release and kind of make it meet the stallion input at the same time. So everything happens the way it should. So she had this huge follicle on Monday. So my vet is like, you know, it's still early. It's only February. This is a 75% chance that this follicle will release. But there's about a 25% chance that since it's so early, she could reabsorb the follicle. But she's been under lights, I said, since November. And what that means is that you can, and thoroughbred breeding firms do this, all breeding firms do this, they start to try to trick the women, the mares. So what they do is they leave the lights on in the barn longer. It doesn't have to be a particular kind of light. They just have to be bright.
So they're not under heat lamps or anything like that?
No, okay. Just lights. Okay. So they keep the lights on and they start to make the horses think that the days are getting longer. And so you kind of time it where you do it like more and more and more and more. So you leave the lights on so the horses think, their internal body clock thinks that the days are getting longer and it's spring and it's time. Start to make some baby juice in there, whatever they do. So it's time to start because horses don't ovulate like women where it's like every month, every year. They kind of they do their heat stuff in the spring and they go dormant in the fall and winter for the most part. Phoenix is a little different. But anyway, so this is all happening. So she's been under lights. We've tricked her body. She's starting to shed her hair coat already. She's really into heat. So we kind of took a gamble. It's next month. She's like, if we did this next month, I'd be 100% confident. Right now I'm only 75%. And so I called Chad and he's like, I like to gamble. Let's do it. So we decided to breed her. And so I called the stud owner. I called up in Northern California to Edgar at Rainbow Equus, and I said, we're ready. Rubignon is ready for his first date. So they said that I was the first one of the year, so I should win some sort of prize, get a discount or something. Anyway, so they sent it out, and we bred her yesterday.
When will you know?
So today, Dr. Hendricks will go back in and ultrasound her again. Yesterday, with the whole artificial insemination, they put it, you know, directly into where it's going to go. And she said that her cervix was soft. She was still in heat because I guess the cervix, Glenn, just don't even ask what a cervix is. Tightened up when they're not in heat. And when they're in heat, it's like soft because it's supposed to like let things through that door.
So weird. Did you notice I'm not asking a lot of questions here?
Did you notice that, like, I didn't know any of this stuff until I had a baby? Like, I didn't know any of this. So, anyway.
We never had a baby, so I've had baby horses, not baby people.
You had baby horses. Have you ever done artificial insemination?
No, we did it the natural way. Put them out together and let them have a good time.
Oh, my gosh.
We gave him some champagne after.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to get to talking about that in just a second because I contacted someone to ask her some help. Oh, no. But anyway, so what we will do today, Dr. Hendricks will go back and she will ultrasound her. She will not go in the main door. She'll go in the back door. and kind of ultrasound and ultrasound that ovary and see if that follicle released. If that follicle released, we're on our way. If not, there is basically the stallion semen, it will live for a couple of days. So we will ultrasound it again in 14 to 16 days to see if she is actually pregnant. I mean, like you can tell pretty quick.
So now if she is not and you have to go again next month, do they charge you again for the whole package?
They don't charge you for the stud fee, but they do charge you a collection fee and a shipping fee. And I'll tell you what, when they collect a horse and then they mail it overnight FedEx, that's not cheap.
I bet.
So I think the collection fee, you know what? dealing with calling on so many of the other stallions, this place is the most reasonable that there is. They send these semen, and I don't know why I have such a hard time saying that word. I feel like it's like a dirty word, and I'm going to get in trouble. Okay. So they send the semen
in these— Welcome to the Howard Stern Show.
Yeah, exactly. In these containers, but they used to send them in these huge, giant vacutainers, they were called.
Yeah, they had like, they looked like a capsule.
Yeah, and you'd have to mail it back to them, and that was hundreds of dollars because they were like 100 pounds. This one was a portable and throw it away. Like they
Is it like the specific. Well, you wouldn't know about that. I was going to say the box you get Omaha steaks in.
Excuse me. Do not Google disposable semen. Don't
Google disposable semen transporters. No. But basically, it was like a little cooler. It was one of like probably
Omaha dry
steaks
ice in it?
Semen.
Is it dry ice?
I didn't inspect, but yes, I'm sure it is dry ice because it was cool, but it wasn't frozen. You know, and that's. If they freeze it, a lot of the little swimmers die. So they had to be packaged. I didn't inspect that because...
were they swimming? You didn't put them under a microscope and see?
I didn't. They're syringes, like really large syringes with really long pipettes attached, like long tubes. And I really was... I was being supportive of my head. I was like, that's gross. Like, I worked at a breeding clinic and I did nothing with the breeding because I always thought it was so disgusting. Like, you rectal a horse and you pull out its poop. That's gross. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. You can show me a bloody pussy wound and I'm like all in. There's magnets. I'm involved. But my God, show me a ovary. I don't want to know. So I'm having to learn all this kind of on the fly. It was really interesting. So
you're really hoping this took, didn't, aren't you? You
have to do it again. God, don't make me do this again. Whew.
Now, was the mayor all good about all this? The mayor was all good or was she tranquilized?
She's an old pro, not even tranquilized. I had to deliver her to a Tricaner breeding farm because they have stocks and the doctor wanted to be kind of careful and make sure.
Didn't want to lose her arm.
You could have done it out in the pasture. She didn't care a bit. She's had it done so many times. She's had 5 babies, I believe, and they've all used frozen, which hasn't taken the first time with her. So she's had this done like 10 different times, I think. So she's an old pro. I contacted somebody. I'm looking for the messages.
Right now. Who'd you contact?
Well, I just had a question.
Okay. Who'd you embarrass with us this time?
All right. Well, there's no secret that I've been stalking our dear friend Zenyatta for quite some time.
You
right?
talked to Zenyatta?
I did not talk to Zenyatta. Okay. I sent a message to, and I'm looking for it right now. I don't have it on here. I sent a message to the broodmare manager at Lane's End
Farm.
You
were stalking Charles again.
I messaged Charles.
He hasn't gotten a court order against you yet.
And I just messaged him and I said, hi. Like, I haven't talked to him forever, you know, since our radiothon, and I stalked him and got him on. So I said, random question. If a mare was if a mare was bred today, what is her full her due date? And he's like, basically January 15th. Why? Well, I bred a mare, and are you busy? He foals out 190 horses a year. And I said, are you busy in January 15th? Because I would really like to fly you out here and have you deliver my new baby. And he like, I'm sure he laughed hysterically. And he's like, oh, sure, no problem. I'm like, I'm so fancy.
Yeah,
like,
we don't have any babies in January here at the farm.
No. I'm like, you're not busy at all. I mean, they don't start coming till like, I don't know, January 18th.
Yeah, so exactly.
Fine. So come on out here and deliver my baby, and it'd be great. And he's like, oh, sure, yeah, I'm not busy. I'll be right there. And I was like, look at me. I'm so fancy. Like, I had to fly in Zenyatta's broodmare manager, like the one who foals out Zenyatta, to foal out my baby. Like, that's what I have
you
to
know
do.
You know they do it by themselves for the most part, right?
What if she needs me, Glenn?
Then you just grab the legs and pull. That's what we had to do.
No, I don't want to pull anything. If she needs me, I need Charles. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Do you know, when I was having my baby, they said, would you like a mirror to see? And I was like, hell no. I don't want to see that. It's disgusting. Like, they're like, would you?
I have to ask. Was Chad brave or was he up by your head?
It's unavoidable as a husband to see. If you think you're not going to see, are crazy because
he's a big, tough fighter pilot, though. He can handle that.
He handled it better than I could. And they're like, do you want to reach down and feel the baby's head? I'm like, what are you talking about? That is horrible. Why would I do that? Ugh, gross. And then she said, well, what do you? I said, I would like to be involved in this process as little as possible. Okay? And so that's kind of how I feel about this whole having a full baby thing. Like, I don't know. If it needs me, I feel like I would fail. I will not be able to handle it. I don't know. It's gross. So I need Charles to come in.
Jennifer, can you talk for a second? Because Glory just unplugged the computer that the live feed is connected to. It's one of those mornings.
Goody. The dog unplugged the computer. That's a new one. Nice. We apologize to our live listeners, but they can't hear it.
Yeah. And then I started asking Charles, of course. I was like, okay, who did they breed Zenyatta to? I'm behind on my Zenyatta news. What is her due date? And he's like, yeah, that's top secret.
Yeah.
Come on. Who am I going
to
tell?
Well, didn't they breed her to Warfront?
They did. Yeah. He told me that. He just wouldn't tell me when.
Oh, yeah. See.
Yeah. I was like, come on. Who am I going to tell? He's like, oh, you're only a person with a radio show.
Zenyatta needs her privacy.
She does. I think he needs his privacy. I think he doesn't want anything to do with me. And if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, cheers, mate.
No, yeah.
Okay. It doesn't look like the live feed went away. So it looks like they're still there.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Glory, for helping out this morning. We really, boy, what a morning. The fire alarm going off. Glory's unplugging the computers.
I'm sure that my baby will be awake any minute. Yes. 2-year-old to come in here and unplug something.
All right. I'm getting itchy. I'm getting squirrely about any more baby talk and ovaries and placentas and things. So let's go to Jennifer and talk about something that's a little less squirrely. So we posted a picture of our editor who came to visit us over the weekend, and it was a picture of Beaker and Scooter and our editor, who had never met a horse before. So Jennifer started getting a lot of questions about the contraption that she has on Beaker's head and what exactly that was. So we said yesterday on the show that we would address that this morning and talk about that. Jennifer, do you want me to post a picture on Facebook or...
I'll just put it up right now.
Okay, good. So tell us about and Jamie, you'll be able to see what we're talking about here very shortly on our Facebook
page.
See
a horse in a baseball cap.
Wait, yeah, not that one. Not that one.
I know what that is.
May have to hit refresh.
Yeah, hit refresh.
Okay, gotcha.
So, all right. So this is what he wears, and this caught the attention of a lot of listeners who went, what the heck is that? So Jennifer, tell us about it.
Well, it's essentially a mechanical hackamore. And if you don't know what a mechanical hackamore is, that's the thing you see Western horses riding around in that is a bitless headpiece, and it's got a noseband on the top and a curb strap on the bottom and a metal bar in between. So it works like a curb bit, except it doesn't go in their mouth. It goes over their nose. Thus the mechanical part, because it's got a lever. And the one he wears is made by Zilco. I got it through Driving Essentials.
And that's a harness. That's my harness is Zilco. They're the most popular synthetic harness maker.
Right. Yeah. They make products for riding horses as well as driving horses. So I ordered it through them. And I got it because the metal part is nothing but a whole bunch of rings. It kind of makes me think of bubble bits or Pessoa bits or whatever people call them nowadays with all those little rings everywhere. But it's got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different rings. So you can adjust the noseband and the curb strap and the reins and the headstall, which ring they go in, and that will alter the amount of pressure on those different pressure points. So if you need to have more pole pressure and less nose, you can move it to appropriate spots. You can even set it up so that it doesn't have any mechanical action at all. So it works just like a side pull or what they used to call a jumping hackamore. It has no lever action at all if you put the straps in all the right places. That's why I use it.
I would not be smart enough to know which one to put in which for which thing. And which thing I needed. Like, do I need, I don't know. Where does it go? I don't know.
I'd have to have not come with directions.
Did it really? Gosh.
No,
it
didn't go with directions.
Did you just experiment to find the one that worked the best? Because I guess you don't want too much pressure either. You want it to kind of be where in the sweet spot,
well,
right?
Well, here's how it works. The further the nose piece gets from the head stall, the more pole pressure you have. The further the reins get from the curb strap, the more curb pressure you have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you know how a lever and a fulcrum work, then you know how it works.
Well, Glenn, we're just stupid, aren't we?
Just so. That's why she's Coach Jen.
I guess I was looking at that picture of you sitting on Beaker with Glenn driving with your editor and his little girl, sweet little girl. And I was wondering what's on Jennifer's head.
Oh, I know exactly what she's talking about. That you attach that to your back of your helmet. It's one of those stay safe, fluorescent things, but it hooks to the back of your helmet.
It's a shade. Yeah, gives your neck shade.
But it's also fluorescent, so it's a safety thing. So you get two in one. So your neck doesn't get burnt here in Florida in the sunshine in the summer.
Okay.
You don't have to wear a whole vest either. You don't have to wear the whole safety vest necessarily if you have that on. But yeah,
I just have to say too how stinking cute Scooter is. Oh my God, he's the cutest pony
Someone
I've ever seen.
Please say that Beaker's stinking cute.
Yeah, Beaker, poor Beaker. Beaker's starting to beat the crap out of Scooter just because he's so pissed that Scooter gets all the attention.
Beaker is cute too, but I have a little chestnut, you know, in my yard. I don't have a tiny little pony bay, but I have I think Joey and Beaker look exactly alike. I think they're
It came
twin.
Up yesterday on the Endurance Show. I don't know how this conversation came up, but that if your horse was a dog breed, what would it be? And or was that Monday?
That was here. Yeah.
Well, that got a lot of comments. And then yesterday, for some reason, it came up. We had the conversation of what drink would your horse prefer? What beverage would your horse prefer? That got a ton of comments about which alcohol your horse would prefer. We determined Scooter was a martini, a blue martini. That's what we kind of determined Scooter was. Thor would probably be a lager.
I think he's a beer guy.
Yeah, lager, deep, dark beer. Yeah. Not Budweiser.
No, he's a craft beer guy.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he definitely would.
Interesting. Well, that's awesome.
The Flower Hackamore.
Where does one find that if they are
interested? From Zilco. If you just look up, just Google Zilco Flower Hackamore Driving Essentials, you can get them at a company called Driving Essentials.
A lot of endurance supply places carry them because they carry all the Zilco products. So the Distance Depot might be a good place to go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we are now, I'm going to do this commercial, but before I do the commercial, you just wrote, Jamie, you just put a note in there. Is the Rolex Experience sold out at the Clarion? And how do you know? I was going to find out from them today.
Yeah, the Rolex Experience, from what I understand, unless, you know, she talked to somebody who didn't know what was going on. But my friend Donna called to book her rooms, and she wanted the Rolex Experience, and they were sold out.
Well, I've had lots of listeners contacting us, and we know we have lots of listeners going now to Rolex. And, you know, I'll contact the Clarion Hotel today. Anyway, what we're talking about is when we go to Lexington, we stay at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. It's where we stay every time. We'll be there for Road to the Horse and for Rolex. They have a special package that does get sold out because Rolex, I think, is popular this year for some reason. But they have a special package usually called called the Rolex Experience, where you get, I think it was a $99 rate, maybe.
$109, I think they moved it to, yeah.
And it does get sold out. So I will check with them today and find out about that. But if you're going for any other reason to Lexington, Kentucky for a visit for anything, if you're coming to Road to the Horse, let me know about it too, because we'd like to have a meetup for listeners for Road to the Horse. Mary Kitzmiller and I will be there doing the coverage there. Your rate at the Clarion Hotel, it includes a full breakfast every morning, free Wi-Fi, an airport shuttle. I've actually done the show from there, so it has pretty good Wi-Fi. They have a great Southern kitchen where you can get all the fried chicken you want and all the collard greens. It's called Cortland Southern Kitchen. And if you're into alcohol, not that we know any of our listeners, none of them are into alcohol, you can go to the Sports Page Bourbon Bar and Grill, and they have a complete bourbon selection there. I think they have every bourbon made in Kentucky. And also, they have pizza that's delivered to the room. One of the things that Jamie likes about it is they have a huge indoor heated swimming pool, a whirlpool and a sauna, slides and stuff to keep your child happy while you're at the hotel. And regular visitors will appreciate the fact that it's very easy. You make two turns to get to the Kentucky Horse Park, and you're coming in the back way, so you don't have to wait in the long lines of traffic off the highway. So it's very simple, very easy. You can find out more at clarionhotellex.com. clarionhotellex.com. And I'll let you know on Friday. I'll check in with them today and see if they're sold out of that package. You know, if you remember right, first year we started advertising them, I don't think they sold the package out. And then over the last couple of years, they've gone instantly. So
yeah. Well, if they have not sold it out, let me know, because I need to call Donna and have her like change her. Because she's like, okay, yeah, I didn't get that, but I still booked my room, so it's still they still have rooms available.
Yeah, they still and we're gonna be there. You know, we'll definitely be there and hopefully have a meetup at the hotel at some point too.
Now I have a Rolex news story for you.
Oh, good, yeah.
Because Rolex is in my news feed. You know, you know how Facebook just knows what you're looking at, and I'm talking about Rolex this and Rolex that. Well, I got a news story from the New York Post about Rolex. Alexandra Martinez. She's a 19-year-old blonde temptress in New York City, and she met financial advisor Michael Barisi, 31, at a bar, and she spent some time with him and persuaded him to take her back to his East Village condo, which financial advisor Michael Barisi had just bought for $1.8 million. So he's, you know, this suave, debonair looking guy, and she's this young, hot blonde. She gets him back to his apartment and drugs him, and he passes out. And she proceeds to steal everything. Now, what led her to steal everything from Michael? She noticed that he was wearing a Rolex, a real Rolex. And that is her kind of calling card as far as stealing, is she finds guys with Rolex watches on and goes and makes herself friendly with them and it goes to their place, drugs them, and steals all their stuff. So let's see. Once inside, the woman slipped a drug into his drink, knocked him out, and stole four watches. And she has a partner in this crime, and they made off with the, on Thanksgiving Day, a $10,000 Rolex, $800 in cash from a 44-year-old guy they drugged inside his apartment. And apparently she's got a long line of alleged victims, like famous people in New York.
They haven't caught her yet? She has to be on camera in about a dozen different places.
Well, here's the thing, is genius. She posts herself on social media all the time, so she was very easy to find. And she's was arrested and was released on $40,000 bail. But they're sending out pictures of her to like let people know, like, hey, this girl's going to try to like bet.
What do they have? They have like the phone numbers of all the rich horny guys in New York, and they're sending the like, you know how you get the Amber alerts on your phone? Do rich horny guys have that? And there's like this alert that comes on their phone.
She not only stole all his Rolex watches, Panerai and Tag Heuer, she stole his gold necklaces, a ring, an iPad, clothing, two credit cards, and $1,000 in cash. When he awoke 5 hours later, realized his possessions had been stolen, he called the police, and that's when she was finally arrested. But seriously, if
you...
Do you think he was
more mad about not getting lucky or having everything stolen?
Hey, first of all, where are you meeting a 19-year-old girl? What are you doing? You need to go home. She is half your age. What are you thinking? She's less than half your age if it's a 44-year-old guy. Listen, they don't like you. They don't. You're old to them. You're a target. Like, why are guys so stupid?
I got to remember not to wear my Rolex when I go out next time.
That's the problem, Glenn, yeah. Is you're flashing all that bling.
I'm sorry. I'll just.
All over you.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. I'll remember not to wear my Rolex next time, okay?
And this is the news feed that Facebook thinks I need to see. Oh, you like Rolex? Here's a story for you.
All right, let's do something actually important this morning. Let's talk about horse health. Jennifer had a chance to catch up with Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. And we're going to take a listen to that. This is always very interesting. And then we'll be back. We have more show for you coming up. And I got a list for you that you're going to like. So I got a good list for Crappy List Wednesday that we'll do in a little while. But first, horse health.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products. And I'm so happy to welcome back to the show Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition, who is here to help us learn more about horse nutrition. What have you got for us this time?
Oh, thanks so much for having me back, Jennifer. This time I thought we would try and conquer some of the most common questions. Well, they're not the most common, but I get these questions a lot. And people are surprised by the answers. So a few little did you knows about particular feed ingredients this time.
Oh, goody.
So if we start out with something like, did you know that oats, barley, and corn have approximately 3% sugars? Starch, that's another story. Cereal grains like oats, barley, and corn have low sugar content, but sugar is not the primary storage unit for these ingredients. The energy storage unit for cereal grains is starch. Oats have approximately 44% starch, barley approximately 55% starch, and corn, the big winner, has about 70% starch. None of these ingredients are suitable for horses with metabolic disorders such as laminitis or obese horses you're trying to decrease the sugar and starch content on. So, always make sure that you're looking at the combination of sugars and starches, the non-structural carbohydrate value, because those two values combined are going to tell you the whole story. Beware of only seeing one of those, low starch or low sugar. Beet pulp.
Oh, that's a hot topic right now. Beet pulp.
Oh, it is a hot topic. And I think that a lot of us use the term beet pulp. It really comes from sugar beets, though. So
now,
in the United States,
that doesn't sound good to me. A sugar beet.
Yeah, I know it doesn't sound. It sounds terrible. In the United States, most sugar comes from sugar beet. In other countries like Australia, where I'm from, it comes from sugar cane. So did you know that sugar beet pulp is low in sugar? Sounds like an oxymoron. It doesn't sound real. But beet pulp is the byproduct resulting from the extraction of the simple sugars in the manufacture of table sugar. Extraction processes being efficient as they are, the remaining pulp has little or no sucrose, table sugar, left in it. And in fact, many feed manufacturers will add varying amounts of molasses to increase the palatability and reduce pulp dust, because beet pulp can be so low in sugars. The non-structural carbohydrates or the sugar and starch content of beet pulp usually runs around 5 to 6%, and that's unmolassed. So all of that sugar has gone into our Coca-Cola or our ketchup or, you know, whatever else that we eat on a day-to-day basis. So the byproduct of beet pulp has very low sugars and starches. So it's ideal for those horses with metabolic disorders.
Is beet pulp an appropriate feedstuff for horses who are not metabolic?
Yes. No horse really needs high sugars and starches in the diet. I always go back to horses in the wild. What are they designed to eat? And in the wild, we really didn't have a lot of these improved grass varieties. When I say improved, when we improve a grass, we usually improve it to withstand more trampling, withstand seasonal changes, withstand grazing. And how do we make anything stronger? We increase its ability to store energy. So our improved grasses or forages have much higher sugar content so that they can withstand all of these things. So horses in the wild didn't eat any of that. So a natural wild horse diet is pretty low in sugars and starches anyway. So there is not really a scenario other than if you have a racehorse that you want to go really, really fast and you need that quick release energy. Most horses do quite well on a low to moderate sugar and starch diet. But that leads me to my next, did you know? Did you know that beet pulp has a similar energy content to oats?
I did not.
No. See, beet pulp is a super fiber. It's a really highly digestible fiber source. The digestible energy content of beet pulp is around 1.1 megacals per pound, and the energy content of oats is around 1.4 megacals per pound. So very similar, not quite as much calories as oats, but very similar. But the energy is not coming from starches as it is in the cereal grain oats. It's coming from this highly digestible fiber source. I use it a lot to improve the quality of the fiber being fed to the horse. So if we've got a poorer quality, lower, stemmier hay, they're not going to get as much out of it. Adding beet pulp will improve the quality, the digestibility of the fiber. And by adding a better quality fiber source without adding extra grain, we also don't increase our risk for hindgut bacterial upset, so digestive upset.
And when you measure beet pulp, this is something that always confuses me a little bit. When you measure beet pulp, the suggested feeding of beet pulp that you get from your nutritionist, your horse should have 2.5 pounds of beet pulp a day. They mean weighing it when it's dry, am I right?
Correct, okay. Yes. So a pound of dry beet pulp is going to have 1.1 megacals in it. Then you're going to wet it, and then all you've added is water. So water has no energy content in it, no calories. So we're not adding that. So absolutely weigh your beet pulp dry, add whatever water you want to it, but make sure that if you've been recommended by your veterinarian or your nutritionist to feed 4 pounds of beet pulp a day, that's dry beet pulp, and then wetting it, it could be 20 pounds of beet pulp, but make sure you're weighing it dry, correct?
Got it. Okay.
The other super fiber out there is soy hulls. Soy hulls, which is just the hull around the outside of the soybean. So when you process the soybeans, we have to take off the hull, and it's a very highly digestible fiber source. It's similar to the beet pulp in having a very high energy content. So you'll notice in a lot of hay pellets or forage pellets that soy hulls will have a primary place in that ingredient list. Oat hulls, on the other hand, are very low in digestibility. And if they're high up in your hay pellet or your forage pellet, it's going to mean the digestibility of that product is going to be a little lower. So soy hulls, if you see those in your feed, in the ingredients list, or in your forage pellet ingredient list, they're a really highly digestible fiber source.
You're so full of that stuff today.
Yes, if we continue on, I've got two more here. If we continue on along the energy value train, did you know that oil has roughly 2.5 times more calories than most cereal grains?
2.5 times more calories. Now, that is any oil, and you're just looking at
any oil,
plain old
any
calories.
Oil. If we just look at the calorie content, whether it was soybean oil or flax oil or chia oil or fish oil, past that, then we have to look at palatability issues and expense and that kind of thing and what else you're going to get. But vegetable oil, if you buy it in the grocery store, is soybean oil. And it has considerably, as I said, four times the calorie content of, say, the beet pulp that we were talking about previously. So anytime I want to add significant amount of calories without adding a lot of bulk to the diet, I add oil to increase the fat content, which is going to increase the energy or calorie density without increasing the actual quantity of feed that we're feeding. If we go back to the beet pulp, yes, it had a similar calorie content to oats, but you're going to wet it and it's going to increase the bulk of the horse's diet quite significantly. So if we're trying to put weight on a horse that doesn't want to eat a lot to start with, it's going to be hard to do it with just beet pulp.
Because the adding sheer volume.
Oil,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're just not going to be able to get a horse to eat that much food. If we add oil, however, they're not going to know, most horses aren't even going to know it's there. If they have a little bit of an aversion to the oil, then you can add some banana flavoring to it, just some banana flavored powdered pudding, sprinkle it on there, and that will increase the palatability. But most horses don't even know it's there. So in our last 2 month sessions, we talked about adding forage to the diet and how it can boost the heat production in the gut, so keep them warmer. On the flip side, in the middle of summer in Florida or Texas, if your horse struggles with heat, you don't want to feed them a really non-digestible fiber source because it will create a lot more heat that they're not tolerating well to start with. So adding more calories to the diet from fat, which does not create heat in the gut when it's broken down, is also ideal. So flip-flopping.
So that's a management thing again, in that he's already getting his 1.5% of his body weight in good quality hay, needs more calories. Don't necessarily need to give him more hay. He's stuck out there in the heat all the time. Let's put his hay in a slow feeder so it takes him longer to consume, keeps his tummy happy, and add the calories by using some oil in his diet.
Absolutely, and they'll keep the temperature down, yep. Especially for those horses that suffer from non-sweating or anhidrosis. So if we move along a little bit more on that fat train, did you know that wheat bran...
On the fat train?
Yeah, the fat train. Toot, toot. Most people need to get off it, or most horses. But wheat bran is not very high in fat. So a lot of people will add wheat bran to their horse's diet, thinking it's going to help them gain weight. But contrary to public perception, wheat bran is not great. It's not a great weight gaining feed. It contains on average about 5% fat, while oil is 99% fat. It also has a bit of an inverted calcium phosphorus ratio and a lot of non-digestible fiber. So you have to really be careful about that, especially people that if they're adding wheat bran every day and they're not counteracting that by adding alfalfa for some more calcium, you can really get some increases, some excessive phosphorus, which is going to decrease bone density and do some other damage there. If people are just adding a wheat bran mash once a week, I know a lot of people that will just add it on a Friday or a Saturday, or the horses like to have a bit of a bran mash and cut up some apples and carrots and put in there. Really what you're doing there, if you're only adding it once a week, is you're making a drastic feed change once a week. Sure, you're doing it every week and you think it's consistent, but unless you're doing it every single day with the horse, it's just like making a feed change too quickly. So some people feed wheat bran thinking it's going to clean out the horse's digestive system and stop them getting colic. But the reason why they're having more manure is because there's a lot of non-digestible fiber, and it could be that we've given the horse a little bit of a tummy upset because we changed his feed too quickly.
Interesting. He goes through there, and the appropriate bugs are not there to digest it, so it just goes
absolutely
in one and out the other. Interesting.
Yeah.
The result
takes about 30 days.
Not the reason. Yeah,
it takes about 30 days for the bacterial population in the hindgut to adjust fully to new feed changes. After about 10 to 14 days, They've adjusted enough to be safe, but to fully change to the new type of feed, all the bacterial population, because you ought to think the bacteria that break down fiber are different to the bacteria that break down the starches, that break down other ingredients. So we really have to slowly adjust them to anything new that you put in the horse's diet. And some horses are more susceptible than others. Some horses, you change the pit person you bought your hay from and it affects them.
Yeah. So, I used the red scoop instead of the blue scoop. Look, he's got an upset tummy. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, so that's all I have on Did You Knows. I'm sure we'll come up with more in the future.
Absolutely. And I've got it. You brought up a little question for me on this. So feeding a bran mash once a week, probably not the good idea that our grandparents thought it was.
No.
We thought that they had looser poop for a good reason, when in fact they probably had looser poop for a bad reason.
Yes. Most
hard feeds that we feed our horses will absorb a certain amount of water if you add it to the grain. You put two scoops of any given grain in a little pail and you add a quart of water, that feed will, to some degree or another, absorb the water.
Yes.
So if you like that giving your horse soup thing, because it makes us feel good, and our horses kind of like to slop it around, could you say that it's a better option, rather than giving them a bran mash, to just take appropriate amount of warm water, add it to their grain, let it soak for a few minutes, and give them that? Is that a safer bet than a bran mash?
It's a great idea to add water to increase the hydration of the gut, especially in the wintertime where they're eating dry forage, there's no grass to get moisture from, and they've probably decreased their water intake. But I'm more of a proponent of adding a little beet pulp to the diet and wetting that. That's going to have that same water absorptive capacity, but instead of adding a unbalanced calcium phosphorus ingredient, we're now adding a super fiber, which is just going to boost the quality of fiber in the diet. It's going to be highly digestible, and they're going to get a lot more out of it. So I'm more of a proponent. If you like to do, you know, a lot of people will do a mash once a day. If you're doing it once a day, try doing it with beet pulp instead of wheat bran.
There you go. I love giving my horses what we call soup.
Yes.
Their meals are always wet just because I feel better giving them soup.
Yes.
Well, thanks very much, Dr. Cubitt, once again for informing and enlightening us. And for people who have more questions than they know what to do with, where can they find you?
You can reach us at performancehorsenutrition.com. Our phone number and email address are listed, and we would love to take any of your calls.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
It's been a rough ride, trying to keep it together. You never know what the miles bring. I'm hanging by a string, but I got this thing. How about you, girl, where you been? I never dreamed I'd see you again. You look so great. Yeah, we were something. Remember how I wanted you more than anything. I'd stay right here a while, but I got this thing. I got this thing called a wedding ring. this girl the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And I know I'm not perfect, even though she says I am. She believes in me, I got this thing. It's just a little thing hanging on my left hand, but it means that I'm a lucky man. It's been 5 years. Yeah, we're talking about kids. Well, I won't lie, your eyes make my heart skip a beat. I'd stay with you tonight, except for just one thing. This thing called a wedding ring, and I'm wearing it with pride. And I got this girl, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And I know I'm not perfect, even though she says I am. She believes in me, I got this thing. Hey, I don't have the kind of innocence I wish I still did, but I thank God for someone who believes I can walk away from this. I got this thing called a wedding ring, and I'm wearing it with pride. And I got this girl, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And I know I'm not perfect, even though she says I am. She believes in me, I got this thing. I got this thing.
And that is Jared Rogerson, I Got This Thing. You can just find him, his music at jaredrogerson.com. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by our listeners, the auditors. So thank you very much. Glenn, I hear you have found our Wednesday list.
I did. I found a crappy list for Wednesday, and it was from equerry.com. It's a new list they put out. They've looked at this before, but I think they found some new ones. And this is the weird, wacky, loony, strange horse laws in the United States that still exist because nobody bothered to take them off the books. So
okay,
I got some
so
fun
this
ones
is
for
like
you.
This old
one. Yeah,
stuff.
So a lot of this is really old stuff, but it's funny. Like in Omega, New Mexico, every woman must be found to be wearing a corset when riding a horse in public. A physician is required to inspect each female on horseback. The doctor must ascertain whether or not the woman is, in fact, complying with this law. Now, first of all, if this still existed, there would be 1,000 doctors lined up, fake doctors like me, going, I'll inspect. I'm good.
Wow.
I can help
what
with
a bunch of dirty pigs. They were like, how can we get these? How can we get people to, like, you know,
yeah,
get next to the women more?
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Oh, gross.
In Hartsville, Illinois, you can be arrested for riding an ugly horse. I think we've heard that one before. In Hartsville, Illinois, you can be arrested for riding an ugly horse.
And what constitutes an ugly horse?
Oh, we've all seen them. We know exactly what they look like. In Pattonsburg, Missouri, according to the revised ordinances in 1884, no person shall hollow, shout, bawl, scream, use profane language, dance, sing, whoop, quarrel, or make any unusual noise or sound in such a manner as to disturb a horse.
I like that one.
Yes, we still need that one, actually. No beeping, tooting, screaming, you know, pointing your middle finger. We could alter that one to make it modern, make it up to date.
I like it.
Yeah, that was a good one. In Wyoming, a community passed this one. No female shall ride a horse while attired in a bathing suit within the boundaries of Riverton, Wyoming, unless she be escorted by at least 2 officers of the law, or unless she be armed with a club.
What are they doing in Wyoming?
I don't know. But you know, all of these laws were made because they had an issue. You know, they were all made because apparently there was a problem that they needed a law, right? And it continued.
A club?
Yeah, it continues. With the original amendment, continued to state, the provisions of this statute will not apply to females weighing less than 90 pounds or exceeding 200 pounds. So do you think that they didn't get, you know, obviously there was a molesting of women going on who were riding in a bathing suit, which I didn't know happened back then. But apparently, if you're under 90 pounds or more than 200, nobody cared.
They weren't worried about you if you were a child or a bigger woman.
Yes, exactly. You could, or maybe that the woman under 90 pounds couldn't carry the club. I don't know what was
that. Could be it too. Story could be it too.
Again, these laws were made because somebody had an issue with this. West Union, Ohio. No male person shall make remarks to or concerning or cough or whistle at or do any other act to attract attention of a woman riding a horse.
Well, if they could amend that to just driving a car, walking down the street, being just in the grocery store, not that it happens to me anymore, but like I hear stories.
You must have
people.
Had a problem in Atlanta, though, because you were known in Atlanta. You must have had issues with all that stuff.
It's not important, but I do say that I was talking to a 19-year-old student of mine yesterday. Oh, my God. So she is... I'm sorry, she's 17 and she was at the gas station and she's in her riding pants and she's very beautiful. And like I said, she's 17, she's beautiful. She's filling up her truck tank at the gas station, wearing breeches and boots. And this guy, like totally standing behind her, catcalls and whistles at her. And you know what she does? This gives me faith in the youth of America. She turns around, sees that this guy is talking to her, and she looks directly at him and goes, "Excuse me, I'm 17." Yes, like you disgusting pig. I'm a child. How dare you talk to somebody's baby like that?
In Abilene, Kansas, the city ordinance number 349 declares any person who shall, in the city of Abilene, shoot at a horse with any concealed or unconcealed bean snapper or like article shall, upon conviction, be fined. Now, you were expecting something else other than a bean snapper, weren't you?
I was. What the heck is
I don't
a
know.
Bean
Jennifer,
snapper?
Could you please look up what a bean snapper is? Is that another term for a weapon? I don't know.
Is it like a 1920s kid's toy?
I don't know what a bean snapper is. I have no idea.
But don't shoot at these horses with them, okay? What's next?
Yeah. Oh, don't Google it.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh. We shouldn't Google that. Oh. Okay.
Well, now I have to Google it because it's just me.
Male horse buffs in Balsalt, Nevada are prohibited from eating onions between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. while out riding.
Oh my God, don't Google bean snapper.
Don't get good.
I warned you. Don't do it.
Now everybody's Googling bean snapper. You know that, right?
Oh, don't.
So we haven't determined what it is, or we don't want to know. Now I'm curious.
It has to have meant something different in the day.
I will not continue to. I was like, well, maybe if I did an image search. Oh God, don't do that.
That was even worse.
I didn't click image. I didn't. I've got a child in the room. I didn't.
Okay, well, next, in Cotton Valley, Louisiana, citizens aren't allowed to eat an ice cream cone while on horseback in public places.
Where is this?
In Louisiana.
Oh my gosh, you know, we eat ice cream riding horses all the time.
I know, and you know, it is Louisiana, so they have those drive-up, daiquiri bars. You could probably get a daiquiri while riding a horse, but you're not allowed to eat ice cream. Daiquiris are fun.
Don't get any sugar.
No. It's illegal. These are fun. It's illegal in Marion, South Carolina, to tickle a female under her chin with a feather duster to get her attention while she's riding a horse. Now, again, these laws had to be made because there was a problem with this.
That law must be from the Wild West. I mean, I don't know anything else. Like, I can't
tell you the last time I've been out and about on my horse with a feather duster. It's been a while.
If somebody put a feather duster up to my face to tickle it, first of all, I would sneeze on them. Second of all, I would kick them in the face. Like, get that out. What are you doing? Get that out of my face.
It's a violation of the law for a married man to ride on a Sunday in Wakefield, Rhode Island. Married women aren't mentioned, so it must be okay. They can go ride.
Well, I mean, that's the days that the women get to go off and do their, you know, ride their therapist every Sunday.
It's strictly against the law in Bicknell, Indiana, for a man to leave his new bride alone and go riding with his pals on his wedding day. The penalty is a week in jail.
Now, that's just sensible right there.
So apparently, again, it was a problem. Buds Creek, Maryland, has an antique law which prohibits horses from sleeping in a bathtub unless the rider is also sleeping with the horse.
What? That's ridiculous. That doesn't even make sense.
Citizens are prohibited from buying or selling or trading horses after the sun goes down in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, without first getting permission from the sheriff. I have an idea on this one. So they weren't allowed to buy or sell a horse after the sun went down. You know what was happening there? They were all drunk, and they were buying and selling horses. When everybody woke up, they didn't remember what happened, and then they were accused of stealing horses, and they go to the sheriff, and the sheriff got sick of this. So that's exactly why that happened, I guarantee you.
I swear I thought that you didn't want to do it after the sun went down because they're selling lame horses or horses.
No,
with,
no, they
like,
were all drunk. That's why that happened.
Couldn't see the horse, you know.
Okay, the next one's great, and I had to look this up to see if it was real, and in fact, it is. In Peewee, West Virginia, yes, P-E-E-W-E-E, West Virginia, people are prohibited from swapping horses in the town square at noontime. Now, I don't care about the law. I looked up Peewee, West Virginia to see if, in fact, it was a place. There's 5,000 people that live in Peewee, West Virginia.
What is it, high noon? They like have like a gathering.
Yeah, gathering and all trade horses.
Do not trade horses.
Maybe
weird.
They start drinking early in Pee Wee. Maybe, you know, that's
it is West Virginia.
But it is Pee Wee, West Virginia. How would you like to say that all day long? I live in Pee Wee.
Okay. I need to know if you are a listener and you live in West Virginia. First of all, I apologize because I've been through West Virginia and it is like not my favorite place.
Mountain.
So I kind of rip on it all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we don't have any listeners in West Virginia. So if you are in West Virginia and you are a listener and you have internet connection, send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I need to do like a listener check. I guarantee you, Glenn, I will not have one. No lying. Because they don't have internet. They can't listen to the show. There's just no way that backwards country ass place has internet.
And now I'm getting all kinds of messages from listeners. Casey just posted. Oh, God, I Googled it, too. I told you they were all going to Google it.
Do it. Why would you do it?
You think they have bean snappers in Peewee, West Virginia?
Bean snappers now trending on Twitter.
Yes, that's right. A unique law in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, where horses are banned from neighing between midnight and 6 a.m. near a residence inhabited by human beings. How exactly do you enforce that? I don't know.
God, chili'd have me thrown in jail.
Yeah, you'd be in jail all the time. Every morning the cops would be there. Hello, okay, you're off to the jail today. It's against the law, last one, in California for horses to mate in public within 500 yards of any church, school, or tavern. The penalty
that just makes good sense.
The penalty can be a $500 fine and 6 months in jail. The law isn't clear as to whether the horse or the owner is fined and jailed. So there you go. Now, you know, again, how you're exactly supposed to tell them not to do that, I guess they're just not allowed to be out in the field next to the bar, next to the church or the school. Why a tavern? I'm not quite sure. Why, I'm not sure what the tavern had to do with it.
It just encourages bad behavior.
You think they're inspired by seeing the horses go at it? That's it?
I don't know. Don't Google that either, I guess. I don't know.
There you go. Thanks to what website? Equerry.com for putting that fun list together. Well, I had an opportunity while I was at Ada to obviously see a lot of new products. And this one, you know, we had talked about an earlier version of this one, and I've kind of never been impressed with this particular product. And you'll hear when we get into the recording. But this one I was very impressed with, and we're actually getting a test unit to try out, and I'll let you know how that goes. But let's take a listen to this Ada recording that I did last week. Well, Glenn here, and I am still at Ada in Philadelphia, and we are taking a look at some new products that we have found. And of course, being the geek, I have zeroed in on something that's very geeky and fun. Now, I have with me Melissa from Hindsight Vision Systems. Now, I want to clarify this because Melissa, I gave her a hard time yesterday, and I apologize for that, but we have seen this is a system where you can keep an eye wirelessly on your horse in the trailer. It's one of those systems that puts a little screen up on your dashboard or up in the front of the truck, and then it has the cameras in the back that you can keep an eye on your horse. There have been systems out there recently that people have been very disappointed in. We won't mention the names, but they've been very disappointed in them because they weren't rugged enough, they didn't work right, or you put the two pieces of metal, the truck and the trailer, in between, they just got all fuzzy. So these trailer eye systems that people have been looking at haven't really worked. I did some research last night on your product, and I felt confident to put you on the air that yours actually works because there's a ton of research behind this.
Absolutely. And it's totally different than anything else that's on the market currently. So,
what makes it better?
So the product itself has been custom designed from scratch. It's not a Chinese knockoff of a home security system. It's something that's...
And that's what a lot of them were.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
most of them are.
The cameras were home security cameras that were meant to be inside the house.
That's
not
right.
Not in a wet book trailer.
That's right.
Yeah, dusty. So
we spent 3 years and almost $1 million in developing this product. Whoa. And to make sure that it was
I
the
hope
highest
it's not just for the
quality.
Horse world. You are elsewhere, right?
We are in many, many vertical markets as well. Yes, absolutely. But it is a totally wire-free system, so there are no wires required for installation whatsoever. So it's really extremely versatile. So you can use it in your trailer, take it out.
How does it mount to the trailer?
It mounts with a variety of different mounts. It comes with two suction cup mounts, but we've got
about... Do they last over the bumps and all that stuff?
They do. We did a lot of research in terms of how the best way to mount the product in the trailer, and these are extremely, extremely durable.
Now, one of the things about the cameras that I noticed, the other cameras that you've seen look dainty. You know, they just look like they're going to break in 2 seconds. These look like you could throw them in water and they would still work. Is that the case?
That is the case. So they have a hard rubber overmolding.
I mean, this is like putting an OtterBox on your phone. This is kind of feels like an OtterBox almost.
It is like an OtterBox. It was designed that way, though, specifically so that you could drop it. It is waterproof. It'll float.
Oh, really? So you can film while it's floating in the water?
You could float while it's
cool.
In the water.
I put it
right
in my pool.
So it is designed to be used outdoors. It is designed for rugged applications.
So if your trailer leaks a little or, you know, whatever,
doesn't,
you're okay.
Doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Or, you know, sometimes water gets splashed in a trailer and then there's dust.
Yeah.
That's the other thing you have to worry about with electronics in a trailer is dust.
Yep. So if it gets dusty or dirty, you hose it off or dunk it
there's
in a bucket
really
of water.
There's nothing exposed.
There is nothing. There is nothing exposed.
I don't know how dust could get into it. It's just nothing. You'd have wiped the lens and that's it.
No, it is sealed and intentionally sealed, you know, with a lot of gaskets and rubber and things to make sure that it's tight.
Where has it been most popular so far?
It has been most popular in the equine industry. It was not designed for that originally. It was designed for rowing, for sculling.
Because you're rowing backwards, you put the camera on the front?
Exactly.
On the bow?
Exactly. But as we got going, people...
But where's the monitor go then, with the collar guy in the back?
The monitor goes at whoever's steering the boat. So it goes at their feet. So as they come up...
Is that to make sure they don't hit something?
It is to make sure they don't hit
okay.
something. They're very,
see
very...
See where the finish line is?
Very expensive boats. So, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would have never thought about that. Now, the receiver part, the screen
yes.
that you look at
yep.
is... Well, about 6 inches by 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah.
It is also made of the same very rugged. I imagine you can drop this and it's not going to...
It is the exact same overmolded material. It is also completely waterproof, so you can dunk that in the water or two if you need to. So.
Wow. And how many cameras can I hook to it?
You can hook up to 4 cameras with each monitor.
And now, there's multiple buttons on it.
Yeah.
What do those buttons do?
So the buttons are very, it's a very simple functionality. One's for power, one's got a menu so that you can choose multiple cameras,
okay.
And one's for brightness and contrast.
Is it connecting by Bluetooth?
No, it connects to itself by a wireless network. So it creates its own wireless network, but it does not require internet at all. So you could be in the most rural parts of America and not have to worry about any internet.
Is that why it works better from a distance? Because Bluetooth tends to get... Walls will affect Bluetooth.
Bluetooth is not as reliable as this. And again, because it was designed for rowing, the signal bounces on water. So it's got a much, much stronger wireless network than anything else that's out there.
How far can I be from the camera?
So you can be up to a third of a mile, direct line of sight, third of a mile away from...
How about
from,
if there's the walls of a trailer and all that
it
stuff?
It does not interfere. We have not had a situation where we could not make this system work. So
most horse people, if you know, it's the average horse owner who's taken one or two horses to shows, they would just buy one camera and the receiver, the screen.
Yeah.
And that all comes as a package.
It does come as a package, yep. So you get the monitor, you get the camera, you get two mounts, chargers, et cetera, and you're all set to go.
And that's $499 retail?
$499 retail.
Now, you said you can put up to four cameras. Does it then cycle through the cameras?
It cycles through through each camera every 7 seconds, and it's a full screenshot. So it's not split screen. It's okay. You get the full image every 7 seconds.
Okay. And I noticed that the up and down arrow, so if you need to go back to a screen, you can just press the up and down arrow?
You can go right back. If you had like four cameras and one horse was misbehaving, you could select that one camera at any point in time.
And just watch that for a while?
Absolutely.
It's very, I got to say, I am impressed, and I have not been impressed by these, so I am very impressed by this.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm going to give one of these a try, and then I'll report back to the listeners on it and give them the results of it, but so far I'm impressed. How does the unit that goes in the truck sit? What's it sit on?
So all of the units have the same 1/4-20 screw thread, so it's got the same kind of a suction cup mount. You can mount it to your windshield or your dashboard, whatever, just like a GPS unit would be.
All right, and then the other important question we always worry about, those of us who have phones or new smartwatches, is how long is the battery life?
So this has the exact same battery as your Samsung cell phone does.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
My Note 4?
It does. It has the exact same battery.
Is it going to last a day?
It'll last operationally, we claim, 4 to 5 hours. But, you know, yesterday we were here all day long. It operated all day long. So it went for 9 hours yesterday.
So people that don't want to be bothered with taking it down and recharging it, can they wire it to the trailer wiring?
Yes. So you can either plug it into a cigarette lighter adapter. Because it's got USB. Cord that comes with it.
And a lot of cars have USB ports.
Yep. Or if you want to hardwire it, we have an adapter kit that goes from your light harness to a USB. So
the camera can be wired in too.
Everything can be wired in if you want to wire it.
So you don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Want to do that.
Yeah. If you're trailering for more than 8 hours, you might want to hardwire.
Or you go away every weekend.
Right.
Yeah. Which a lot of them do.
Yeah. But it does recharge quite quickly. It's got a quick recharge cycle on it. So it
fully charges. And price-wise, I mean, for an iPad, you're going to pay that much money anyway. Mm-hmm. And here you have the camera and the pad, basically. And I got to have to say, the picture was clear. It's color.
Yes.
A lot of them are black and white that came out. And we're charging $300, $400 for black and white ones.
Yeah. It's a 1080p resolution. And it is also a sunlight readable screen. So if you're outside in the bright sunlight, you can still read it.
Have anybody bought them for baby monitors? Not babies in the house. I meant horse babies.
Oh, horse babies. We had our first baby about a year ago, which I was very, very, very excited about. So a horse baby.
If it goes that far, if your house is anywhere near the barn, you're going to be able to reach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we encourage people to share their stories with us. I mean, people are using this in ways we never imagined at all. So
I like it. It's the Hindsight. Where can they buy it?
They can buy it at hindsightvision.com.
We should spell it because it's not spelled normal.
Yes, it is not spelled normal. It's HYNDSIGHT vision, VISION.com.
So that's Hindsight with a Y.
Yep.
And you'll find them there. Sounds good.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Well, I'll let you know. We're gonna test one. They're supposed to be sending a test model over. We're gonna test it in the trailer and see what the story is. I've been kind of disappointed. Did you have any of the other past ones? She was right. They just seemed like home security cameras that weren't really made for outdoors and weren't rugged. These things, you could drop them in water and not have a problem. And we tested it actually at the show too. And at the show, we walked around with it, and I was all over the place with it, and you could still see it, you know.
I want one for a backup camera.
There you go.
No, seriously, you can just turn it around if it's mounted in the back of the trailer. Turn it around the other direction when you back your trailer up. Hello.
I had the I don't even want to say, but I did a review of it, and I reviewed it right after I got it, and I was seriously happy because it was any technology, but every trailer trip I had, what are those little square batteries called?
Oh, the 9-volt.
The 9-volt
battery. Does it anything take 9-volt
batteries?
Except your fire alarm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It took 9-volt batteries, and every trailer trip would suck up the batteries. So you had to use a brand new one. And if you didn't want it to burn up the batteries, you had to take it out when you parked. So it was to hear it was rechargeable. Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
I'm anxious to see, and that's something we'll test, is how long the battery does go. Because, you know, it's like your phone. They say, oh, it'll go 2 days. So, yeah, if you don't do anything with it, like not even look at it,
it'll
go 2 days. If you're actually using it, you get a half a day.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll see how that works, but we're excited to try. I have high hopes for this just because of the way they're built. It's not chintzy. These things are totally molded.
How much are they?
This one, I think she said it was going to be $499, and that comes with the one camera, and then the screen is beautiful. I mean, it was HD quality. It's like 1080p, so it's like HD quality screen.
And I want to let everybody know that's listening right now is that when we test products like grooming brushes or hoof oil, Glenn sends it to me. When we're testing cool helmet cam quality, ridiculous, awesome trailer viewing things, he keeps it.
Well, see, it's actually more of a price point. If it's over $300, I get it. If it's under $300, you guys get it.
Is that the price point? Because I'm pretty sure it's a different price point than that. I'm pretty sure it's $12. Hey, you know what? I'll send you more horse treats. Here you go, Jamie.
Jamie, you're so easily pleased. That's
I am.
Hey, you just posted on Facebook an article, and I've seen it going around, but I haven't read it yet. It's on somebody wrote on American. It's called American Pharoah's Second Life is a $200,000 a night stud. It was on Bloomberg. So
It's really interesting to read. I was supposed to be finding news this morning, and I found this article, and I read it for 20 minutes, and I'm like, oh, I got to get to work. It's written by clearly a business person, and it's really interesting to see their take on what is going on and kind of how they explain it, the deed itself and blah blah blah, and talking about the verb to use in polite company is cover. The stud covers the mare. Okay. You know, like the deed, and in polite company. Yeah, it's a really interesting article that goes on to talk about all the different mares and how much money is going to be involved, and how that $8.6 million he earned is going to begin to look like small change if it goes well. And they talk about cigar being sterile. And I love this. The 2016 breeding season begins on February 15th. There's a good chance one of the mares already on Pharoah's calendar will ovulate shortly before that date. And if so, Barry says the farm could push the season's first session up by 24 hours to take advantage of her optimal reproductive conditions. Happy Valentine's Day, American Pharoah. No pressure. It goes on and on and on about how other horses can get kicked or fall down or break their leg or get sterile, you know, all these different things. And they talk about how he was in this barn, and they've got quotes from the Zayats, and even the quote from the farm manager saying that they actually turned American Pharoah out next to Thunder Gulch, because Thunder Gulch is like 24 years old, and they wanted to get American Pharoah to stop galloping around in his pasture, and they wanted to kind of bring him down a little bit. So I learned some new stuff reading this article. The only thing about it is the pictures are terrible. It's like somebody with a camera phone took pictures of him in his stall.
Well, you know, Bloomberg doesn't have the budget for a photographer, so the guy probably was using his camera phone.
Yeah, they're really bad. I'm like, all the beautiful pictures you could have taken of American Pharoah, and you got a picture of his butt in the stall. Seriously. Anyway, it kind of goes through his career, and it's a long article, and it's really, really well written. So I I posted the link on our Facebook page and you should check it out. Now, another thing about Kentucky, Windstar. Do you remember having Windstar Farm on Jennifer Bookdom to talk about their Stablemates program?
Yeah.
So Windstar.
Oh, by the way, can we add the same thing we say every time we talk about Windstar, the most beautiful farm in the world?
It's one of, yeah. I mean, my gosh, spectacular. So Windstar Farms has a program called Stablemates, and they are doing a free handicapping contest that starts on February 12th. And the website is Windstar, W-I-N-S-T-A-R, stablemates.com. And it's free, and you pick a fantasy stable of 12 horses out of the 47 offered. So they present you with 47 horses, you pick 12, and they do purse winnings and all that up until April 16th.
Oh, we should and do that. That'd be fun.
I know. And so I went on and I signed up, and I haven't got past the beginning because we had to start the show, but you sign up and you can have a paid subscription, but you can also
Can you do it for free?
Yeah, you can do it for free. They just want your information. And you just click on the little banner that says Windstar Stablemates Fantasy Derby. Let's see, pick your horses here. I just clicked on it. It looks super easy. So it'd be fun to kind of get involved. The prizes can include, let's see. Among the prizes offered this year feature Windstar Stallion Halters, Windstar Apparel, complimentary Stablemates memberships, because they even give you like camera access if you pay for it, you know. Table tickets on the fourth floor of Churchill Downs Jockey Club Suite.
That's
for
nice.
Oaks and Derby Day. It's amazing. And so they do have this online Stablemates program, and you can go on and, I mean, gosh, there's just so much cool stuff you can do on there. So anyway, there you go. It's the Derby Fantasy Derby Challenge. It looks fun.
Cool. Maybe we'll do that, and then listeners can play along, and we'll see who wins.
Oh my gosh! If
we'll have
one
our
of you
own
guys
little
wins,
contest. Awesome. We'll see who does the best. Even if they don't win the whole thing, we can see who does the best. Because if they're automatically going to track it, if they only have a certain number of horses, it should be pretty easy for them to track it and then post it. So that'd be cool. Yeah. Hey, you know that how they were talking about changing the name of eventing officially on the FEI side and for the Olympics? Well, it's got a big boost now because British Eventing, one of the sport's most powerful federations, has endorsed it. They have come out and said that equestrian triathlon would be good in an effort of improving the understanding of the sport to add new audiences. And so that looks like now the FEI is going to take it up, but it's getting support from a lot of federations around the world. It's not unheard of, apparently, for names to be changed. The International Rugby Board became World of Rugby. International Sailing Federation became World Sailing, and on. So there's been a lot of name changes here recently. And they're looking also, we had talked about, but if you have not heard this, they're looking at changing some things about the competition as well, shortening the dressage. Oh, where's my clapping and cheering? Where the hell is my clapping and cheering? I need that right now. Yay! Shortening dressage to 5 minutes. What is it now? Like, it comes up to like 7 or 8. Thank you, Jennifer. It goes up to like 7 or 8 minutes now, doesn't it? It seems to take forever. That's all I can say. The reason that they're looking at shortening dressage, do you know the reason?
I really don't.
They're trying to get it down to one day.
Men.
They're trying to get it down to one day in many cases. So that's what they're trying to do. The other reason.
Yeah. Run two arenas. But genius.
So there, yeah. Take no longer than 5 minutes, meaning they can all take place in one day. At present, the three events will still take place in the same order. Cross country would be run in reverse order of the dressage results, which they usually put the top ones after dressage at the end of the day. Each Olympic team would only be made up of three riders with all three scores counting, so there wouldn't be a throwaway anymore. And that's all coming up to consideration on April 4th and 5th and being voted on by the General Assembly in November, which means that it would take place subject to IOC approval in 2017, and if successful, could be in operation by the Olympic Games in 2020 in Tokyo.
You know, I don't hate equestrian triathlon because it's how I kind of explain what I do anyway.
Yes. Well, the one thing that was confusing people is, you say 3-day event, but yet it takes 4 days. That was confusing to people.
That's not that confusing. Yeah, it's just whatever, idiots. So the but what I think they did, remember they were trying to come up with all these names?
Yes.
And they were really bad, like Equestrathlon and all these weird things that nobody could say. Do you think they did that to make Equestrian Triathlon
sound good?
It's like when I tell Chad, he's like, how much did that cost? And I'm like, it was only $400. He's like, $400? I'm like, just kidding. It was $200.
Yeah.
Then $200's a softer blow. You know what I mean?
That could be. That could be.
By the way, girls, if you don't do that to your husbands, you have to. It's genius.
So the British Federation is now behind it. And I think we're going to see that all of that go through, actually. I don't know why it wouldn't at this point. I don't know why it wouldn't.
All right. Well, I think we've run out of time, but I will save and I'll save it for Friday. The polo match that does not involve horses. Ooh, there's your tease. It's a polo match, but the animals are used. They use different animals.
All the women in the audience want to know is it does it still involve hot South American polo guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
That's all they really wanted to know.
Maybe. I don't really know. Honestly, don't take my word for it. I don't know. Just say yes.
All right. We have a best of show for you tomorrow. Actually, Mary Kitzmiller is scheduled usually on that day. And she made a trip to California and has had a heck of a time trying to get home. She blew out a tire in the middle of the desert in Arizona and blew it out to the point where the rubber wrapped around the axle. So she could not change the tire herself. She had to call the service, and she was in the middle, literally, of the desert in Arizona. So it took hours, and now she's late. So I don't even think she's going to be home by tomorrow morning. So we are going to have her later in the month, and we'll have a best of for you tomorrow. Get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. On Friday, we'll announce what the prize is for this month. Remember, we kind of change things. Everybody that sends in an ad now is eligible for the monthly prize, and we'll do the drawing at the end of the month. So get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad, not just a link, the entire ad, because sometimes the bad ones just go away.
I posted the photo of the hot polo players for you.
Oh, did you? Let me look. On Horses in the Morning's Facebook
page? On Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
All right.
So I spoke too soon. Well, I mean, you know what? They might be married. Their wives think they're hot. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Could be. Could be. Do they have Rolexes on? No.
They're smarter than that. They know women are coming after them. So I'll tell you that story on Friday. How about that?
Now I want to hear it. All right, everybody. We'll see you.
Spade and her gals, guys. Bye.